Hey, my name is Colton. I'm one of the serving leaders here at Ethos. Thank you so much for checking out our podcast today. We hope that you can lean in and enjoy this message.
So, you know, over the last several weeks, we have been in a series, Relational Reformation. And this is the last week in this series, week six. It's been a fun series. It's been a really cool series. It's been broad, but broad in the sense that we've been able to talk to and hit on many different topics from many different spaces and phases in life. We've talked to single people, families, parents, friendships, repairing relationships. So I hope and my prayer is that over the last 5 weeks that you've been able to grab hold of something and you've been able to take hold of that and letting it change you, let it challenge you. You're chewing on it. You're letting it work in your heart. And so as we wrap up in week six today, we're going to be talking about healthy community, relationally healthy, spiritually healthy community. But before we dive into it too much, I'm going to ask you all to stand one more time with me this morning before we get too comfortable. And we're going to read some scripture this morning. We stand because we want to honor the word of God. We stand because there's power in the word of God and it holds true. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with us to John 17. We're going to start in verse 20. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine. It's going to be up here on the screen. But also, here's a plug. If you don't have a Bible, we have a Bible out in the foyer for you after service. At the In This Together table, go grab a Bible. We want you to have one. We want that to be something you hold on to that's dear to your heart. And if we run out, we'll order more. I don't know if we can. We'll order more. And we'll have some next week as well. So let's go ahead and read from John 17, verse 20, our scripture this morning. It says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we are just honored. We're grateful. We're thankful to be in your presence this morning. God, I pray for open hearts to receive, open ears to hear. Father, that the words that are spoken today will fall on soft hearts, that it changes, that it molds, that it challenges, that it transforms, God. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into this space this morning. We cannot do this on our own by any means. And so we ask you just to bridge the gap between what we need to hear here on earth and what God intends us to hear in heaven, from heaven. We're so thankful. We're honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. So we just read from this text in John 17. And this passage of scripture, Jesus is praying over us. He's praying over the church before he goes to the cross. And it's a prayer he is praying for us as the future church, that we may be a part of community and that way we may experience community. One thing I want to say here, as believers, if you are a believer in this space, as believers, you have said yes to Christ. So meaning you have said yes to that community that Christ prayed for us. And we've said yes to community with one another, just as Christ is in community with the Father and the Spirit. So what does that community look like? What does this community mean? What did he intend for this to be designed? Well, we see that modeled in Acts 2, as Jordan just spoke to us. And if you were here in Team Rally, we talked about Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. And if you followed on social media this past week, we posted about what Pentecost Sunday means. That's today. But Jesus had been crucified. He has ascended to heaven. And then for 40 days, he appears to his people at various points in various places, revealing himself to them, having relationship with them. But on his very last meeting, before he finally ascends to heaven for the final time, at his very last meeting, he promises the believers that he is going to send them the gift of the Holy Spirit in his place, for the Holy Spirit to be with them on earth. So the Holy Spirit coming That indicates the birth of the church, and that indicates the birth of community and what this community, what we want it, what it should look like, and how we should know it today. So in Acts 2, to set the stage, we see believers who are all together, and this isn't anything new. They would always be in communing together. They were always with one another. They met together often, but this time was different. They were all together, and in a moment, they hear a sound, a loud roaring sound, and it was in this moment that the room is filled, and they encounter the Holy Spirit. They encounter the Holy Spirit together, and they experience all at once a unifying event that brought them together. It was an event that changed how they would interact with one another and how the church from that point on would and should look like. So in Acts 2:42, we're going to read that. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So what we see happening here, what's happening in this moment, is we're seeing the formation of a spirit-birthed community and the habits and commitments that these believers are now making to a new way of life. They're committing these habits and their commitments and habits that are honoring and pleasing to God. So let's talk about what we see happen here at Pentecost in this moment, how community is meant to look with the Holy Spirit coming down. In verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, and sharing in meals. We see devotion. A habit of devotion is forming. In the early church, teaching and prayer was a sign of spiritual devotion. Sharing meals together and breaking bread together showed relational devotion. Community in this way was showing commitment to knowing God and knowing others, saying, I'm devoted to you. I want to do this with you. Let's devote ourselves to leaning in. Let's commit to one another. We're going to devote to leaning into the Word of God, to hearing, to the hearing the teachings, to sharing meals together. The next thing is all the believers in verses 44 and 45, it says all the believers shared everything they had. They shared the money with those in need. So what we see happening here, a habit and a commitment we're seeing, is they're committing to compassion. What I've noticed and learned over time is that people rarely experience compassion when they are not in community with one another. There is an intrinsic giving and receiving that comes with compassion, and both must be present and are present in community. Like when life falls apart, compassion typically comes from your community of friends, right? Just this past week on Tuesday, this might be TMI, but I was sick to my stomach and vomiting my guts up. I think I ate bad eggs, but I threw them away. I'm pretty sure that's what it was, but I was so sick Tuesday evening. But what I did was I reached out to the community of people in my life. I texted Maddie Rinaldi, our fantastic kids director, and I was like, is there any way that you can bring me some crackers and ginger ale? I am in no space to leave my apartment. And within seconds, she responds back, I got you. I have you. She showed compassion to me in that moment, in that giving and receiving. And within 20 minutes, there was a bag of groceries on my doorstep of all the things I needed to be well. And then I threw out my really bad eggs. But the point here is there's compassion, right? We find when life gets hard, when we experience trauma and trials and tragedy, which we all will at some point in time, it's the people in the community around us that are the first ones to show us compassion in that moment. They're the ones that we know we can reach out to and say, please help me. And without hesitation, I got you. The next thing is we see frequency forming as a habit in this new community and what this in the spirit-breathed community. Verse 46 says, they worshiped together each day. They met every day to worship and to commune together, and that brought them great joy. They did not let options get in the way. Now, granted, yes, this is back in the day, and they didn't have cell phones and cars and Target to distract them to go do that instead. So, granted, their attractions were limited, but here's the thing is they didn't let options of what they could do get in the way. We can't let deciding to engage in community be determined by if nothing else better comes along, or we can't let being in community be determined by if I have nothing else, or if I have the time, then I'll go do this. I know in society today, and I know I can be guilty of this, we live in busy schedules and go, but we let every excuse prevent us from diving into community and being present with people in community. But here's the thing, frequency increases intimacy and trust in community. So the more you are continuing to meet in this community, the more you continue to dive into community with people, the easier it is for there to be trust, for there to be communication, ease of communication, intimacy with one another. And the last thing we see here as a habit that's forming out of this spirit-breathed community is growth. In verse 47, it says, "The Lord added to their fellowship." When people see healthy community being modeled, being lived out with fellowship, and they see love, that's gonna draw people in. I think about my coworkers, and they always make fun of me. They're like, "You're always doing something, you're always on the go," but they know I'm always doing something with my friends from Ethos. I'm doing something at Ethos, and they know that. But what I love about it is they're seeing how I'm living out community with people here in this church and how that's consuming my time, because I'm choosing to go to meals, go to coffee, be in groups. I'm hanging out with them, and they're seeing how that's transforming my life, and that's drawing them in, and it's making them ask questions about, well, these friends of yours. I'm like, yeah, they're pretty awesome. They're pretty great. But that's going to grow the kingdom. That's going to draw people. And then though it might be little baby steps and they haven't said, "Andrea, I'm ready to be saved," and all these things, that's okay. But I know that's little seeds being planted by how they're seeing me live out community. And that's going to grow the kingdom. So we see the Holy Spirit brings healthy community to the church back then. So how do we have spiritually healthy community now? Why do we need spiritually healthy community? Why should we want it? Well, we know the why. First, because we just read in John 17, Jesus prayed for us to have healthy community. He prayed for us to be in unity with one another. That's what he wanted us to be, one with one another. But the second is God is a relational God. Right? Within the triune of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are this relational, interwoven being, and we are modeled after God, right? We're modeled after Christ, and we are a reflection of Him. So in turn, therefore, we are meant to be relational beings. That's why we should want this healthy community. We should want it because it's unique. Right? It's unique in the sense that we have an opportunity to relate with one another that only the Holy Spirit can make possible. We see that in Acts 2, how we just read, right? The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to be devoted to one another, for us to have compassion for one another, for us to frequently meet with one another, to spend time together, to grow the body of Christ, to be known, to be loved, to love others, to invest in people. That is all because of the Holy Spirit. All these things come to life and happen solely because the Holy Spirit is in the midst of it all. So here's how, let's talk about how we can get and how we can have spiritually healthy community. And as we talk about this, I want you to think about this question and let this kind of just sit on your heart. And I should have made this a slide and I didn't, and I apologize. But it says, here's a question I want you to think about. Am I experiencing community with others who share in the desire to healthily affect both of our spirits? Let me say that again. Am I experiencing community with others who share in the same desire to healthily affect both of our spirits? It's a two-way street, right? Am I with others who want healthy community for me? And are they with someone who wants healthy community for them? It's a two-way street. So let's talk about what this healthy community looks like. Spiritually healthy community, it is a safe place for walls to come down. But to create a safe space for walls to come down and for to create a safe space for people to want to have their walls to come down requires that my spirit life be ready, because I need to be ready to create that space so that I can have that space ready for them. It's not that what I can say or what I can do in the natural that will create this safe space for them, but rather it's the Spirit of God being present in the midst of that space that's going to allow them to feel safe. So how do I create that safe space? Have you prayed lately? Have you worshiped? When's the last time you woke up in the morning and just turn on worship music first, just to ready your spirit for the day, to throw your arms up and say, God, I give this day to you. I worship you. I thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. When's the last time you've just been still with God, with your Bible open, saying, God, speak to me. I'm here, I'm listening, my ears are open, my heart is ready to hear what you have to say to me. Those are just a few of the small things that we can do to have our spirit life ready so that when we're in this moment, when someone comes to us in need, they feel safe, that they sense the spirit strong on the inside of us, on the inside of you, that they say, oh no, I can trust this person. Oh, I'm ready to let my guard down. I'm ready to let my walls come down and be honest and truthful, because this is a safe space and I sense the Holy Spirit in the midst of this. In Romans 12:2, it says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. It's that mindset shift. It's knowing that my life in the spirit matters more than my skills in the natural. Knowing that what I can do, all the big words, if I'm smart and I'm funny, I'm charismatic, and that's gonna draw people in, they're gonna feel safe. No. It's not about what I can do in the natural and how great I am. It's all about what I'm doing in the spirit and what I'm doing with the spirit and how I'm letting the spirit be able to set that space for community to happen in and around me and with me in it. The next thing with spiritual healthy community, it is a reflection of the character of God. We know that God has so many beautiful and wonderful characteristics about him that are countless to name right now. But in 1 John 4:7, it says this, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. God is love, right? And he loves his creation, and that's us. He is a loving God whose love has no beginning. It has no end. It is immeasurable. We cannot even fathom it and understand it with our own minds. And we get to be a reflection of that love to those that we encounter, to those who are seeking community. We get to give and show love to someone who may never experience love. And that's a gift. I was thinking about this the other day and I was like, oh, I'm not going to share it, but I'm going to share this. I'm going to say this. Don't take for granted the gift of being able to love other people. Because you might experience and come in contact with, let me say it this way. I am a 35-year-old woman and I've been single for 35 years. I don't know if I will ever have a spouse who will love me in that special way. I don't know if I will ever have kids who will love me in that special way. But I get to be in community that will give me the love that I need. And so don't ever take for granted the love that you get to show people. And don't ever take for granted the love, the maybe a reflection of that Christ-like and God-like love, because you don't ever know if that person may not ever get to experience that by any other means. The next thing is spiritually healthy community is something that seems like it should be easy, but it really is very rare. Well, why is it rare? Because it requires brokenness and vulnerability. Ick. We don't like that. I don't like that. I know it's hard, right? It's a, that's an ick. But as a society, but even more in the church, we would much rather appear perfect and put together and intact and look at me and I've got it and I'm good than ever appear to be broken, than ever appear to say, I'm messy. But it is broken people who share in healthy community. In Psalm 34:18, it says, if your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. Well, what did we just say a second ago, right? That we're a reflection of God, that we're modeled after him. So when I read this verse, I see it as, if your heart is broken, my community will be right there. If you're kicked in the gut, they'll be right there to help me catch my breath. A spiritually healthy community consists of people who have the integrity to come clean and lay all their mess out. But here's the thing, when they're laying their mess out, it's the responsibility of those who are hearing the brokenness and hearing the mess to respond with nothing but unconditional love, which is God's character. If we give anything less than that love in that moment, when that person says, here's my mess, here's everything I've done, here's how I've sinned, here's what's going on, and if we give them anything less than unconditional love and no judgment, then we run the risk of that person who is seeking healthy and safe community, they're going to pull back and they're only going to give you fragments of themselves, and they're going to hide away the rest. And what a disservice we've just done to them and to ourselves if we allow that to happen. Spiritually healthy community is opposite of how the world operates. The world says it is your competence, it's your blessings, it's your success, it's all these great things that's going to draw people to you, and rah, rah, you're so amazing. Everyone wants to be your best friend. When really in spiritually healthy community, it is our weaknesses, it's our hurts, it's our failures, it's our shames, our insecurities. That's what's going to bind us together. Now, I'm not saying that your successes are not meant to be celebrated, because my goodness, they are. We want to celebrate and celebrate you well. But in these mountaintop moments, they're great. But you have to realize that not everyone is going to be able to relate to that mountaintop moment with you. Not everyone's going to be able to relate to that promotion or to that, the birth of your child or that marriage or that raise you just got. Whatever it may be, not everyone can relate to that. But we sure as heck can all relate to pain and tragedy and trauma and brokenness and shame, because we're all imperfect people and we've all experienced that. Yeah. A spiritually healthy community, aka a church, aka this church, is full of broken people who, rather than sitting in that straight row, want to turn their chairs into one another and look around that circle and say, oh, you too? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did. Me too. Right. I get it. We get it. Because if we're going to be bound together with someone and we're going to be seeing the circle and I'm going to be linking arm in arm, I want to be linked arm in arm with someone who gets it. I want to be linked arm in arm with someone who understands. I want to be equally yoked to someone who gets it. You know, in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, do not be unequally yoked to unbelievers. I think we often just associate that scripture to marriage, right? Which, yes, it does apply to that, but it also applies to relationship and community and friendships. And if I'm going to be with someone, I want to be equally yoked and arm in arm with someone who has the same convictions that I have to chase after Jesus and to include the Spirit and be convicted by the Spirit. And they're going to say, Andrea, I got you. I'm going to look at them and say, I got you too. Let's figure this out together. Let's walk this together. I'm going to help you carry your burdens and you're going to help me carry mine. And we're going to live out this community together. So that's spiritually healthy community. That's what the things that we want to look for. That's what it should look like. That's spirit-breathed community. So how do we avoid unhealthy community? What does that look like? How do we avoid it? Spiritually unhealthy community is a desire to be safe from people. We've changed the narrative of being with people, and now we're trying to get from people. And therefore, we never get to enjoy the safety of being with people. The dialogue shifts from to do with, and it shifts now to get from. We go from, I want to do this with you. I want to come alongside with you. I want to be with you. Let's do this together. And it gets, what can I get from them? When we are desiring to be safe and away from people, we will never get to own our own brokenness or our own mess, nor provide others with the safe space to own theirs. And without that ownership, it results in a community that is competitive, that's untrue, that's demanding, where we think we have to show off that God has done more work in me than he's done in you, that I'm more put together, that I can do this and you can't. Spiritually healthy community, unhealthy community, is being in a state of continuous disillusionment. Being part of an unhealthy community and deciding to be satisfied in that community and then thinking that it's healthy, that is tragically disillusioned. It's tragic because you are now relating in ways with other believers that only require just a little bit of the Spirit to be involved. Just a tip in the pool, just a little tip in my big toe right in there. That's it. Just a little bit. And you want nothing more. That's all we need, just a little bit. And you decide that that little bit is enough for you. That is lonely. And that is disillusion, because a little toe dip in the pool of the Holy Spirit, that will never be enough. That's never enough. And the last thing here about unhealthy community is that it's easy. Spiritually unhealthy community is easy. It's easy because it takes less work. It's easy because it's a cop out. It's easy because you don't have to face the hard truths. It's easy because no one wants to talk about the hard. No one wants to talk about the messy. Nobody wants to talk about the sin. But it is our responsibility to normalize sin so that God's power can work in our lives and so that he can break the bondage on our lives. Now, I'm not saying normalize sin as in like, okay, go do what you want. Go live your best life willy-nilly because God's grace and mercy is chase after me. And no, we can't abuse God's grace. I'm not saying normalize in the sense of, well, it's fine. I can do whatever I want. No, no. I'm saying normalize it in the sense of, hey, this is what I did last night. Hey, this is what happened in my life. Hey, here's where I'm struggling. Hey, this is what I was looking at. Hey, this is what I was watching. Help me. Normalize in the sense that it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to be honest about it. Working towards being part of spiritually healthy community, it takes work. So we've been talking about, right? It takes work. We just said that unhealthy community, we said that it's easy. So that means pursuing and being a part of spiritually healthy community, that it's not easy and it's gonna take work. Here's the thing, and we know this, community is messy, community is hard. Inevitably, there will be bumps and there's going to be conflicts along the way because we are a bunch of imperfect people living in an imperfect world. But here's the thing, the presence of conflict does not equal unhealthy community, just as the absence of conflict does not equal healthy community. The variance is all in how it is handled. Is the Spirit involved? Is this community driven and guided by the Holy Spirit? There is no way through hard stuff, through the hard stuff in community, without the Spirit of God. And when conflict is seen as an opportunity to draw on God, that is when true spiritually healthy community can begin. As we begin to wrap up here, I want to show you this illustration for the visual learners in here, myself included. Of conflicted relationships, we just said there's going to be conflict, right? It's inevitable. Conflicted relationships can either be met by spiritual friendships, and when we say they're met by it, right? So they're joined together, they're coming in conjunction with. We talked about that, the dialogue with one another, not from, but with. plus dependence on the Holy Spirit, that's what's going to equal spiritually healthy community. Or a conflicted relationship that is handled by congenial friendships, right? Handled, just managed by a congenial friend, someone who is just a yes, a pleaser. They're just going to go along with it. They're going to say, oh yeah, that's fine. They're not going to challenge you. Plus human dependence, depending on what they know in the natural, depending on what their skill set says and what their gifts are in the natural, that's unhealthy community. So are we choosing today to be a part of community that will be with you, that will guide you spiritually, that will point you towards the Spirit, that will bring the Spirit in and create this atmosphere for the Spirit to be present, and a Spirit-breathed community? Or are we in a community that will try to manage you and handle you and guide you by whatever human means are known and available to them, by what they know? I have seen unhealthy spiritual community. I've lived a part of it. I've been a part of it. And it did nothing for my soul care. It did nothing for the care of this right here. And it hurt and it stunts your spiritual growth. But I'm so thankful for this church, how we push for community, how we push for relationships, how we push to live life with one another. Living life as a family is our priority. And I'm so thankful that I get a front row seat to be able to watch this community be lived out, spiritual healthy community being lived out and created right here. I think about people like Amanda and Josiah Danans, my dearest friends. I think about how every Sunday they have a group of friends over and they open up their home and they say, come on and let's have conversation. Let's share a meal together. I think of someone like Tara Reinhart, who so beautifully leads a women's group, a mom's group, excuse me, with their toddlers. And she does it so well. But the beauty of it is, just a few weeks ago, she took intentionality to invite me. And her words to me were, I know you're not a mom, but I know you love all of our kiddos as if they were your own. That was including me in just a beautiful community. I think of someone like Vinny Pastorero. We all know Vinny. Everyone loves Vinny. He leads young men in this church so strong and so beautifully and so wonderfully, helping them to become men of God. And not only that, I dare you to ever catch a time where Vinny, you have not seen him on his phone texting you, reaching out, hey, what's going on? Hey, what's up? Hey, how can I serve you? Let's meet for coffee. I think about people like Zach and Carrie Coons. Talk about safe community. They foster children so beautifully, giving them a spiritually spirit-filled home to be a part of. We're watching community happen right here. We get to be a part of something so beautiful. We need to desire spiritually healthy community in all its many facets, through prayer together, through worship together, through reading the Bible together, eating meals together, having coffee together, laughing and crying together. And at the common connection in all of that is Jesus, right? Because we have said yes as believers to Jesus. We're saying yes to community with him and with one another. And it comes to life by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's how it comes to fruition, because the Holy Spirit breathed out this new community of what the church is meant to look like. You know, for years, I was so very good at isolating my brokenness and my hurt. Like I said, vulnerability, ugh, I don't want to do that. And it's still something I'm working to be better about, but being vulnerable, no thank you. I'm good. It's something that I have to choose daily to be better about, to know that people are on my side and they want to come alongside with me and they want to be equally yoked with me. Here's the thing is, I find so much joy and gratitude from those who feel safe to break down their walls around me. And I'm just like, oh, thank you. Like, that's a gift to me that you feel safe. I've created this safe space. But recently I've been convicted to think, who am I to take that away from other people and not let them have that safe space for me? At the start of the year, I had specifically I list out all my goals and where I want to grow and areas I want to be better in for the year. And there's always a relational aspect to what I'm looking at, how I want to improve over the course of this coming year. And I specifically prayed for more opportunities to be relationally healthy. I wrote down in my goals that I wanted to have at least 2 coffee dates or 2 meals a month with someone from Ethos. And God's funny because I prayed this and I'm like, God, this is what I want for myself this year. And he's like, oh, that's what you're praying for? Well, here's like 5 to 10 a month, Andrea. Here you go. And it's so beautiful, but it takes work. Because listen, there's some days where I'm like, I don't have the energy. I don't want to. I just would rather go home after work and not go out. But I know it's that with each sip of coffee, with each meal shared across the table, with each conversation, it's bringing more kingdom value and it's adding a little bit more space here on earth for the Holy Spirit to move. And I need to let that happen. So today you're probably like, we've talked about community and you're like, Andrea, that's all good and well, but I don't know where to start. How do I get community? How do I get plugged into a spiritually healthy community? I don't know anyone here. I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with it, the thought of it. I get it. It's uncomfortable. It is. Text me. Email me. My information's right here. I'm being so serious. I want to meet with you. I want to connect with you. I want to get to know you. Take my information down. Now, I'm a terrible texter, so it might take me a few days to respond back to you, but I will. My friends who are laughing here, they know. But I'm great at emailing. Shoot me an email. I want to connect with you. I want to help you find spiritually healthy community the way God intended it, the way Jesus prayed over us for this church to have spiritually healthy community. Male or female, doesn't matter. I'll bring someone along with us who can add value to the conversation. I'll help you get connected to someone else in the church who you can continue to walk with and stay equally yoked with, who will share in your convictions and say, let's point ourselves towards the Spirit. Let's chase after the Spirit. Get connected in a group. We just heard on Ethos News, groups launch June 19th. We have groups for everybody. We want you to find your space. There's Ethos 101 through 301. The next one's coming up on June 25th. Get plugged into a team here. Find community within serving right here in your local church. There's so many ways and opportunities and avenues within these four walls for us to find community. My heart is for us to be the most relationally healthy, spiritually healthy, community-driven church in the city of Columbus. My heart aches to be a part and to continue to lead out a church that values community with one another, that sees the worth of sitting across a table and having conversations and including the Spirit in the midst of it all. Let's be a part of spiritually healthy community. Let's be a part of building spiritually healthy community within this church.